this anger.
Yeah, but it's durable.
Timeless.
It's timeless, yes, enduring. Well, hey, Eric, thanks so much for phoning in from your
thank
your
you family. For having me.
And we're going to be heading out and going to leave you with something to complain about. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for having me on.
From $1,000 heels. Oh, bless
my name is Rip Van Wagner from the lovely village of Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC Acre, Catskill, and more. Moaning about her
double D's and how they hurt her back.
Well, I wish I had me something to complain about like that. Standing in the checkout line, flipping through some magazine. All these nightmarish divorces from them folks living the dream. How they have to sell their mansions and only get half. Well, I wish I had me something to complain about like that. Yeah, there's things about my life I'd like to change. Getting worse. And all of this construction trucking makes me want to curse. But that man holding a cardboard sign there on the exit ramp, and he's fussing about the price of gas.
My long two-pointed ladder sticking through a tree toward heaven still. And there's a barrel that I didn't fill beside it, and there may be two or three apples I didn't pick upon some bough. But I am done with apple picking now. Essence of winter sleep is on the night, the scent of apples. I am drowsing off. I cannot rub the strangeness from my sight I got from looking through a pane of glass I skimmed this morning from the drinking trough and held against the world of hoary grass. It melted, and I let it fall and break, but I was well upon my way to sleep before it fell, and I could tell what form my dreaming was about to take. Magnified apples appear and disappear, stem end and blossom end, and every fleck of russet showing clear. My instep arch not only keeps the ache, it keeps the pressure of a ladder round. I feel the ladder sway as the boughs bend, and I keep hearing from the cellar bin the rumbling sound of load on load of apples coming in, for I have had too much of apple picking. I am overtired of the great harvest I myself desired. There were 10,000,000 fruit to touch, cherish in hand, let down and not let fall. For all that struck the earth, no matter if not bruised or spiked with stubble, went surely to the cider apple heap, as of no worth. One can see what will trouble this sleep of mine, whatever sleep it is. Were he not gone, the woodchuck could say whether it's like his long sleep as I describe its coming on, or just some human sleep. I went to turn the grass once after one who mowed it in the dew before the sun. The dew was gone that made his blade so keen before I came to view the leveled scene. I looked for him behind an aisle of trees. I listened for his whetstone on the breeze, but he had gone his way, the grass all mown, and I must be as he had been, alone. As all must be, I said within my heart, whether they worked together or apart. But as I said it swift, they passed me by, on noiseless wing, a bewildered butterfly, seeking with memories grown dim o'ernight, some resting flower of yesterday's delight. And once I marked his flight go round and round as where some flower lay withering on the ground. And then he flew as far as I could see, and then on tremulous wing came back to me. I thought of questions that have no reply, and would have turned to toss the grass to dry. But he turned first and led my eye to look at a tall tuft of flowers beside a brook. A leaping tongue of bloom the scythe had spared, beside a reedy brook the scythe had bared. The mower in the dew had loved them thus, by leaving them to flourish, not for us, nor yet to draw one thought of ours to him, but from sheer morning gladness at the brim. The butterfly and I had lit upon, nevertheless, a message from the dawn, that made me hear the wakening birds around and hear his long scythe whispering to the ground and feel a spirit kindred to my own, so that henceforth I worked no more alone. But glad with him, I worked as with his aid, and weary sought at noon with him the shade, and dreaming as it were held brotherly speech with one whose thought I had not hoped to reach. Men work together, I told him from the heart, whether they work together or apart.
Hello. That was a little Robert Frost. Here on There There. Thanksgiving weekend. Thanks for tuning in. It's been a couple months since I've had a regular show. It's good to be back. Here in the wilds of Ulster County, I'm Alana, your host. We're on the fourth Sunday of every month from 7 to 8 p.m. here on WGXC Radio for Open Ears. 90.7 FM on your dial in the Upper Hudson Valley and around the world online at WGXC.org. It's kind of a spooky, dreary night. Damp. The festivities are winding down from the weekend. That's the mood I'm in. That was a really wonderful recording of Robert Frost reading his own poetry. Let's see if I can find the cover here. That was recorded or released in 1957. Robert Frost reads his poetry, released on the, looks like the Cadman Publishers in New York. And we just heard the After Apple Picking and the Tuft, or part of the Tuft of Flowers. We may return to him a little later on in the hour. We'll be on until 8 o'clock when Tony Fallon takes over for the Irish show. I'm thinking about murky Irish nights because I just saw The Banshees of Inisherin, which is a very moody, moody, dark little tale. Enjoyable if you like such things. So let's see. What did we hear before that? We heard a new release. This was a gift from my sweetheart. A collaboration between Vieux Farcatouré and Krongbin, two favorites. This was released this year. Ali is the name of the album on Dead Oceans Records. And the track was called Savan. And we came in with Bjork and Mycelia from her 2022 album, which is called Fossora. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Fossora? Fossora. On One Little Independent Records, which I believe is her label. So yeah, we're just getting started. Up next, La 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 with Utopia Planet from the album I Want the Door to Open, which came out in 2021. Enjoy. Everything is here.
from another planet. Not if I'm an alien, but if you're in another world, yes.
us. That was from The Dreary Coast. The Dreary Coast was a site-specific theater production that took place on the Gowanus Canal way back in 2014, I believe. Something I was involved with myself. And it was created by Jeff Stark, 2014, is that what I said? And that track we just heard was from a soundtrack that was recorded from this production. I'm going to try to pronounce it. Smirneko Minore, performed by the Hairy Eyeball Orchestra, which, among other people, was made up of, I believe, Chloe Swatner, and there was also the main composer for the show, George Graham, and some other musicians as well. And it was a trip down the River Hades, a.k.a. the Gowanus Canal. Before that, we heard Ecstatics with the track Saint Me the Martyr. Ecstatics, that was a recording from back in 2013. It's a duo, Admiral Gray, who is a local artist, Hudson Valley in the House, and Matthew Dunhu from the album 1,000 Years of Ecstatics. And before that, we heard Sudan Archives, my new favorite band, I've just realized, or artist, I should say. This track was Come My Way, and that's from the original EP Sudan Archives, released in 2017 on Stone's Throw Records. And before that, we started off this set with La 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 with Utopia Planet. I'm Alana, your host. This is There. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Radio for Open Ears.
Love beating up.
I stayed the night for shelter at a farm behind the mountain with a mother and son, two old believers. They did all the talking. The mother says, folks think a witch who has familiar spirits, she could call up to pass a winter evening, but want, should be burned at the stake or something. Summoning spirits isn't button, who's got the button, I would have them know. The son, he's about 4 years old. Mother can make a common table rear and kick with two legs like an army mule. And she says, and when I've done it, what good have I done? Rather than tip a table for you, let me tell you what Rawl, the Sioux control, once told me. He said the dead had souls. But when I asked him how that could be, I thought the dead were souls. He broke my trance. Don't that make you suspicious that there's something the dead are keeping back? Yes, there's something the dead are keeping back. Son says, you wouldn't want to tell him what we have up attic, mother. Bones. A skeleton. But the headboard of mother's bed is pushed against the attic door. The door is nailed. It's harmless. Mother hears it in the night, halting perplexed behind the barrier of door and headboard. Where it wants to get is back into the cellar where it came from. We'll never let them, will we, son? We'll never. It left the cellar 40 years ago, he says, and carried itself like a pile of dishes up one flight from the cellar to the kitchen, another from the kitchen to the bedroom, another from the bedroom to the attic, right past both father and mother, and neither stopped it. Father had gone upstairs. Mother was downstairs. I was a baby. I don't know where I was. And she says, the only fault my husband found with me, I went to sleep before I went to bed, especially in winter when the bed might just as well be ice and the clothes snow. The night the bones came up the cellar stairs, Toffle had gone to bed alone and left me, but left an open door to cool the room off so's to sort of turn me out of it. I was just coming to myself enough to wonder where the cold was coming from when I heard Toffle upstairs in the bedroom and thought I heard him downstairs in the cellar. The board we had laid down to walk dry shod on when there was water in the cellar in spring struck the hard cellar bottom. And then someone began the stairs, 2 footsteps for each step, the way a man with one leg in a crutch or a little child comes up. It wasn't Toffle. It wasn't anyone who could be there. The bulkhead double doors were double locked and swollen tight and buried under snow. The cellar windows were banked up with sawdust and swollen tight and buried under snow. It was the bones. I know them, and good reason. My first impulse was to get to the knob and hold the door. But the bones didn't try the door. They halted, helpless, on the landing, waiting for things to happen in their favor. The faintest, restless rustling ran all through them. I never could have done the thing I did if the wish hadn't been too strong in me to see how they were mounted for this walk. I had a vision of them put together, not like a man, but like a chandelier. So suddenly I flung the door wide on him. A moment he stood bouncing with emotion and all but lost himself. A tongue of fire flashed out and licked along his upper teeth. Smoke rolled inside the sockets of his eyes. Then he came at me with one hand outstretched the way he did in life once. But this time I struck the hand off brittle on the floor and fell back from him on the floor myself. The finger pieces slid in all directions. Why did I see one of those pieces lately? Hand me my button box. It must be there. I sat up on the floor and shouted, Toffle, it's coming up to you. It had its choice of the door to the cellar or the hall. It took the hall door for the novelty. And set off briskly for so slow a thing, still going every which way in the joints, though, so that it looked like lightning or a scribble from the slap I had just now given its hand. I listened till it almost climbed the stairs from the hall to the only finished bedroom before I got up to do anything, then ran and shouted, Shut the bedroom door, Toffle, for my sake. Company, he said. Don't make me get up, I'm too warm in bed. So lying forward weakly on the handrail, I pushed myself upstairs, and in the light, the kitchen had been dark. I had to own I could see nothing. Toffle, I don't see it. It's with us in the room, though. It's the bones. What bones? the Sarah bones out of the grave. That made him throw his bare legs out of bed and sit up by me and take hold of me. I wanted to put out the light and see if I could see it, or else mow the room with our arms at the level of our knees and bring the chalk pile down. I'll tell you what, it's looking for another door to try. The uncommonly deep snow has made him think of his old song, The Wild Colonial Boy, he always used to sing along the tote road. He's after an open door to get outdoors. Let's trap him with an open door up attic. Toffel agreed to that. And sure enough, almost the moment he was given an opening, the steps began to climb the attic stairs. I heard them. Toffel didn't seem to hear them. Quick, I slammed to the door and held the knob. Toffel, get nails. I made him nail the door shut and push the headboard of the bed against it. Then we asked, was there anything up attic that we'd ever want again? The attic was less to us than the cellar. If the bones liked the attic, let them have it. Let them stay in the attic. When they sometimes come down the stairs at night and stand perplexed behind the door and headboard of the bed, brushing their chalky skull with chalky fingers and sounds like the dry rattling of a shutter, that's what I sit up in the dark to say. To no one anymore since Toffel died. Let them stay in the attic since they went there. I promised Toffel to be cruel to them for helping them be cruel once to him. And the son says, we think they have a grave down in the cellar. And she says, we know they have a grave down in the cellar. And he says, we never could find out whose bones they were. And she says, yes, we could too, son, tell the truth for once. They were a man's his father killed for me. I mean a man he killed instead of me. The least I could do was help dig their grave. We were about it one night in the cellar. Son knows the story. But 'twas not for him to tell the truth, suppose the time had come. Son looks surprised to see me end a lie we kept up all these years between ourselves so as to have it ready for outsiders. But tonight I don't care enough to lie. I don't remember why I ever cared. Toffel, if he were here, I don't believe could tell you why he ever cared himself.
Thank you.
That was Dirty Three from their beloved album Horse Stories, released in 1996, Warren's Lament. Before that, we heard another Robert Frost recording, reading his own poetry, The Witch of Coos, from that recording I played earlier, released in 1957, I believe. Either 57 or 67. And before that, Viv Pirina, which is a folk song arranged also for the Dreary Coast soundtrack. And it was arranged by, Rima Fand. And that recording, it was recorded by Rima and Sarah Alden for that production in 2014. All right, we just have a few minutes left. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is There. All the shows are in the archives at wgxc.org. If you want to support our station, you can go to wgxc.org/donate and be one of the many listeners who helps keep us on the air and keep all of our eclectic programming moving forward. Thank you so much. I'll see you next month. We're going to take it out with Lucius, Second Nature. Or not. Perhaps that's not about to happen. Never a dull moment here on Creative Community Radio. All right. Well, we just have a couple minutes left. I'm going to see if I can pull up this track for you to enjoy, because it sounds really, really good. It's from their new album. From their new album released this year, also called Second Nature, on Mom and Pop Music. Let's see if we got it here.